Nothing beats the summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ with the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the grace. Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Yes, we welcome you to the Gabba. History made here on two fronts today. Firstly, for the first time ever in Brisbane, we're getting a pink ball day-night test match. So there's the first piece of history. The second piece, for the first time ever in magnificent FM stereo sound, Triple M rocks Test cricket. And it is my great pleasure to be joined by two of the all-time greats, Brad Haddin, of course, just recently retired superstar, when I say retired, from the international scene anyway. Welcome to you, Hads. Oh, I might just have to get you turned on. Just relax there for a second. And the great Skull O'Keefe, Kerry O'Keefe.
Hello, Bray.
Legendary leg spinner for New South Wales and Australia in the 70s, and then a broadcaster that reinvented the way the game was described. Hello, Skull.
Hello, mate. Great to be with Triple M.
Have we got you?
This test.
We got you sorted out, Hads, or... No, we still haven't got you right. Well, we're grinding the gears early. Get you done in a minute. But I can tell everyone listening, Kerry O'Keefe, we've just had the toss of the coin. Yunus Khan and Steve Smith, Australia, have won the toss and not surprisingly elected to bat because the conditions look magnificent.
Brilliant day for batting. Not a cloud in the sky. You've got to bat first if you win the toss at the Gabba. Steve Smith's done that. Nathan Lyon plays, I believe, so it's a good result.
All right, before we get Hads properly involved, I can tell you who is going to be involved in the Triple M team throughout the summer of test matches against Pakistan. Brad Haddin, as I mentioned, Brett Lee is going to be joining us, the blonde bombshell, of course. Merv Hughes, not far away, not surprising. Merv couldn't actually make it for the start of the game, but going to be involved in the broadcast. Isha Guha, former English international, great to have Isha on board. Mark Howard, you'll hear from. Michael Slater from time to time will jump in. Nerali Meadows down on the boundary. Gus Warland from the grill team in New South Wales. Julian Schiller. Mick Malloy, so you're getting a slightly different look at cricket from those two fine gentlemen. Ash Chew will be doing the stats, so the big team assembled. Now, Hats, please. Third time lucky I'm throwing you. Are we all good?
Mate, we're all good. I thought I was getting muted straight away. No, it's great to be part of history. It's great to see Skull back on the airways. So it's a pleasure to have you back, mate.
That's what they said about Mark Holden when he was on Dancing with the Stars. And the age divide ended up polarising everybody. So I'm a little wary, but thanks a lot, Ads. Appreciate that.
Ads, tell us about this Australian team. Unchanged. There was talk perhaps of a four-quick sort of change-up late, but Nathan Lyon comes in or stays in.
Oh, there's always little rumblings about four quicks up here, but I enjoy that we've gone with the same team. We've got the class of David Warner at the top, and Matt Renshaw, I think, is a great story. He brought tickets for this test match.
Yeah.
So his friends are out in the crowd. You got Usman Khawaja and Steve Smith in the middle. You got Peter Hamskin, who I thought did an outstanding job in his test debut. I thought that was a great 50 under pressure. Nick Madison gets another opportunity at this level. And Matthew Wade, I'd like to touch on him. I thought the energy and presence he created last game was outstanding. And it's a big part of why I think Australia win. He created that uncomfortable environment for the opposition. And then you got the engine room in Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon and Bird. So, you've got to take 20 wickets in test matches, and I'm pretty confident those guys can do that.
Might be a conversation for when we've got a little more time, but was Nev a bit stiff to come out? Of all of the people in those first three tests that you could perhaps finger for not rowing their side of the boat, I'm not 100% sure Nev was one of them, was he? You're the expert.
Yeah, I feel a little bit uncomfortable that they talked about Peter Neville's character. I've played a lot of cricket and had a lot to do with him, and he's great for a change room. He's the heart and soul of the New South Wales team, and he got left out of the test match because he wasn't scoring enough runs. Nothing to do with character or presence on the field. It was just that Neville hadn't scored enough runs. So, yeah, I was a bit uncomfortable that they spoke a bit about character.
Yeah, me too. All right, Skull, we've given you the task of the Pakistan team, given your intimate knowledge of this eclectic group of gentlemen.
Well, I've been following them all winter, Bray. I like the cut of their jib.
Yep.
They'll open with Azhar Ali and Sami Aslam. This is Michael Slater and Mark Taylor. Azhar Ali, stroke player, brilliant through the offside. Sami Aslam, Nika Nadja, doesn't get out much. Interesting, they have to gel for Pakistan to be a chance in this series. Babar Azam is the three. He's probably the best player in the side. Brilliant offside strokes. Vibes coming out of the Pakistan room. Don't leave Babar in the corner. Yunus Khan at 4, yes. Misbah Ul Haq at 5, 39 and 42-year-old respectively. Well, what can happen on bouncy pitches? We're going to find out whether you can get big runs at that advanced age. Fantastic on the subcontinent, the UAE. These are different circumstances.
Stunk it up recently in New Zealand, both of them. Pitches, having had very good winters, if you like.
Yeah, pitches seamed and they play with their hands away from their body. We'll see what happens here. Asad Shafiq's at 6. Very good counter-attacker. Safraz Ahmed, the keeper, at 7. Drops his body the moment the bowler releases the ball. So you'll see his head around the stump height. Big square cutter. Plays a little bit. He's a right-handed Gilchrist. Watch out for Safraz Ahmed. Likes a fight in the Javed Miandad mode. The bowlers, and these are the key. Mohammad Amir, Wahab Riaz and Rahad Ali. We'll see those three left-arm seamers. Rahad Ali outstanding against left-handers. Riaz. More nicks than a Greek wedding he produces. He is outstanding. And, of course, Mohammad Amir. Late at 7 o'clock tonight, they're bowling in the sunshine, but that's when Mohammad Amir may stand up with an older ball. And, of course, Yasir Shah, 100 test wickets inside 17 tests. Yep. Can he produce that magic on bouncy pitches where he's not getting purchase? I'm doubting him, but we'll find out.
All right, Kerry O'Keefe there, of course. Brad Haddin having a look at the two teams. The toss, if you're just joining us, has been won by Australia, elected to bat. Let's get down for California Sports Services. By the way, world-class services for schools, homes and clubs. Nerilee Meadows joins us for the first time. Nairs, welcome to you, and you have the superstar that is Brett Lee with you.
Thank you very much. Can I just say it is great to hear Kerry's laugh back on the radio. It's making me giggle already. Brett Lee, you've been out there in the middle. Tell us, what does the pitch look like?
Well, Kevin Mitchell Jr. has done an absolute incredible job. It's a beautiful coverage of green grass on there. It's not too green. It was a lot greener overnight, but they've got rid of a lot of that greenness. Look, it's a beautiful wicket. Australia's done well to win the toss and bat first. There's going to be a lot of bounce, a lot of carry, but you've got to get the ball up there.
And hopefully not get too carried away with that bounce and carry. We've heard plenty about this Pakistani attack. What are you expecting to see from them this morning or this afternoon?
A lot of bounces. Look, there's been a lot written in the press about them to come in and bowl short. I don't think that's the right tactic here at the Gabba. You've got to get the ball up. You've got to allow the ball to swing. Those three left armers will come into play if they pitch the ball up. If they're hitting the top of off stump, bringing the ball back into the right-handers, that's their best, you know, chance of taking wickets.
So, JB, not a cloud in the sky down here at the Gabba. The crowd is slowly building for this first-ever day-night test. We're excited here at the Gabba.
Thanks for that, Nerilee Meadows. Brett Lee on the boundary. Bing, of course, will be up here regularly in the commentary box, but Nez will be just floating around and providing us with some colour down on the boundary. Speaking of which, Julian Schiller is also doing the same thing. He's been out and about just chatting to some of the punters as they make their way in, Jules.
Jared, first ever day-night test. What's the vibe? What are you feeling? How's it going to affect your preparation?
Mate, it's feeling good. I got up early this morning, did a few liver stretches and loosened a few things up, and mate, I reckon it's going to be a belter.
Jacob, are you mentally prepared for a day-night test?
We're scared. There's no doubt about it. You know, we're uncharted territory. We don't know where it's going to end up.
It's Triple M's first broadcast today. What would you like to see us bring to test cricket?
Free piss. That'd be awesome.
I'm not sure if the budget extends to that.
Maybe you could have people employed to, between the break, come down and bring us drinks. We'll pay for it.
Okay, I'm sure, like, Brett Lee would love to go from being one of Australia's best test cricketers to serving you drinks. No problem.
Well, he's got to earn money. We've all got to earn money somehow.
Dibbles and show bags.
I reckon everyone loves the skull. I think he'll be really good.
How'd you get the nickname show bags?
Value for money, but everyone reckons I'm full of shit.
Triple M rocks test cricket.
This gentleman pinching himself, and it's a decent sized pinch too. He's down on the boundary. In fact, he's near, this is another first, an absolutely magnificent pool has been erected near the old kindergarten side of the Gabba, and Gus Warland, of course, Triple M grill team from Sydney, is down there amongst it. Gussie boy.
Yeah, thank you, JB. Thank you, boys. Beautiful. Three bays they've taken out of the Gabba to put this pool and a couple of pool decks around. So if you're in the Brisbane area, you want to come down to the cricket, just come down in your best pool attire and you can get your ticket upgraded to this beautiful pool. And people in at the moment, it's got to be 30-odd degrees down here if it's a degree. And I tell you, boys, after sitting in the pool at Sir Vivian Richard Ground in Antigua, and those boys not leaving that pool area for a good sort of 3-4 hours at a time, I'm hoping that the lifeguards here might pull a few of these blokes out just to let them do what they need to do. But it's sensational down here. Not much of a crowd as yet, but it is building, and a good applause when Stevie Smith won the toss, and they're looking forward to Australia to put a big title together. Back to you, boys.
Thanks for that, Gus Warland. Now, Hads and Kerry O'Keefe, Australia batting I always love when Australia bat first in a test match and Dave Warner's involved in the game, Hads. I don't think the cricket public quite appreciate what a phenomenon this bloke is.
I totally agree. I think the form he's shown over the last 18 months, he's matured into one of the best openers we've had. And it's going to be a real interesting first session with the Pakistani bowlers. If they get too carried away with the bouncy, David Warner could easily be 70 runs at lunch and take the game away from him in the first session. So it's going to be right on Pakistan to make sure their lengths are right.
Haven't seen enough of Renshaw Skull. What are your thoughts?
He looked a little more limited than you'd like in game one, but everybody is, outside of Greg Chappell and Ricky Ponting on debut.
Yep.
And you grow with Test cricket, and you've got to factor that into Matthew Renshaw, because I saw him on the live feed get 100 in a Shield game, and he looked like he was bombing him down the ground. So we saw the other side to him on debut, but he'll grow into it, but he's facing some quality stuff this game.
The one thing I liked about Renshaw, though, was he put a price on his wickets, and that's what we've been after. We need an opener to complement David Warner. And I thought Renshaw did that outstanding. And the one thing he did that I think went unnoticed in his first test match, he was there at the end. He showed a lot of character to be there at the end, and I thought he did a fantastic job.
Ash Chua joins us for the first time. Of course, AFL fans of Triple M will know Ash during the course of the winter, but adding cricket as a string to his bow. Ash, welcome to you.
Yes, good afternoon, JB. First time I've seen daylight in 2.5 months. I've poured myself and studying my cricket stats, so looking forward to it.
It'll be good. We're just getting the anthems ready to go. The two teams will be out there. Hot day, no surprise at the Gabba, it normally is. Steve Smith, I want to chat to you about Hads too. I've liked the way, funnily enough, he's gone about his last three or four tests innings, because it hasn't been easy on any occasion, and yet he's made hard runs and made himself hard to dismiss and led.
I think that last comment's the most important one. I think since the Hobart test, there's been a line in the sand moment, and Steve Smith's really put his identity on this team. I think since that moment they've played with great character, and they've played with the identity that he wanted the Australian way to be. So, and the one thing he's always done well, whether he's been captain or not, he's still continued to get tough runs.
Yep. And he certainly did that in the first three tests. It's a beautiful batting surface, this Skull. Looking at it from up here, it looks magnificent.
Look, if blue sky, if the ball doesn't move, it's a day for Steve Smith, isn't it? These are his days. I mean, I'm not saying he's a flat-track bully, but I'm saying the bowlers will have a devil of a time getting him out if he gets in on this deck, if it plays as we expect it to play.
Usman Khawaja, of course, the captain of Queensland, knows this ground very well and is in very good form. So it's a formidable top five or six that Pakistan face in this game. We've got everyone assembled, ready for the anthems. We've also got Chris McKenzie not far away with an M Sport update. And then we're ripping into it. Test cricket under lights. The pink ball, Hads. You're the only one that's experienced that. Tell us a bit about it.
I think the pink ball's come a long way. I think now we've got the product right. It was a lot of talk about the ball over the last 12 months, but I think we've got it right. We didn't change it once in the Adelaide Test match, so I don't think it's going to play much of a part. It's just going to be a normal Test cricket match that starts that goes into the night, so I can't wait.
In the old days of it turning from day to night, dinosaurs like myself and Kerry O'Keefe used to have trouble just seeing the ball for about half an hour. That doesn't appear to happen with a pink ball.
I think it will at 7 o'clock tonight. I watched the warm-up game in Cairns against the Cricket Australia 11, and they had four overs to bowl on the first night, Pakistan, and they had the Cricket Australia 11 four wickets down for three runs. The ball just went sideways, Mohammad Amir and Rahad Ali. It could be very dangerous. Australia may get a great start in the sunshine, but from 7 p.m. onwards, batting could be a different proposition altogether.
Down to the boundary. For the first time, Hads has been with us. He's slipped down there. Nearly Meadows is down there as well. And for the first time, great pleasure to welcome Michael Slater to Triple M Cricket.
Yeah, we bring him along. Just tell us, are you excited to be part of Triple M Rocks Test Cricket?
Absolutely. I think bring on another coverage. I think Triple M will do it a little differently as well. I mean, you'll get the great call on the cricket, but I think we've got a few breakout characters in there that's going to make it a lot of fun to listen to.
And what about the excitement of the first day-night test at the Gabba? What are you expecting to see?
Well, it's been interesting talking to Kevin Mitchell Jr. because he said he hasn't prepared the pitch any different to any other year. So given that it's a pink ball, and I know in Adelaide they leave a little bit more grass on it, Kevin hasn't done that. It's only 2 mil of grass that's been left on it. It's in great condition. No hesitation in Steve Smith winning the toss and batting. So that's how they view it. They've played enough Shield cricket now with the pink ball to know how it sort of operates up here. Dave Warner was saying, depending on the quality of the ball, it might swing or it might not. If it gets hit around a little bit, it stops swinging. But it's very exciting. Pakistan, you don't know how they're going to turn up. I just hope they're here to play and play some decent cricket.
How does Matt Renshaw feel right now, opening for Australia for the first time in front of his home crowd?
Well, he feels fantastic. And I think the three guys who debut down Adelaide, what they have here is the first test of three test matches. So they can make an impression on a series rather than come in and mop up a series. This is where they can really start to carve out a test match career. And Renshaw, we love the way he got Australia home. There are certain things about his batting that maybe needs to be developed, but we'll find that out. We've only seen him one time and he did a great job. So Hanscom did well. Maddison didn't get a great opportunity, got cleaned up with a good ball, but you know, it's there for the taking if they want a long career.
And Hads, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously they had a great result in Adelaide, but now they need to back it up.
They do. But before we go there, I think that moment there is one of the most special moments about being a test cricketer. To be arm in arm with your teammates, you all know how sick you all feel in the stomach. You get a glimpse of your family as you walk out. So you're a bit teary. And once that anthem's over, you're down to business. But you know everyone's feeling exactly the same as you, just sick in the stomach with nerves.
And you and I saw Matt Renshaw's mates out here with Mannequin Renshaw. Now, he'll know they're in the crowd. What is it like when your mates catch your eye and you're trying to concentrate on Test cricket?
Oh, I just think Matt Renshaw's a great story. He brought tickets 6 months ago to the Gabba Test and now he's in front of family and friends. I thought what he did in Adelaide was an outstanding job. I think the character he's shown, we've been looking for someone to bat time and put a high price on his wicket, and that's what he did. But the most important thing he did was he seen Australia right through and he won the game for us.
Boys, great to have you both involved in Triple M cricket. We're excited down here.
Hey, Nez, just hang on to Slater for a second, please. He's still there?
He is still here.
Hey, Slatey, very nice chatting to you. Absolutely. You know how much I love Davey Warner, and yes, I'm not the lone ranger. I think everyone does. Yes. This has got his name written all over it for me. It's flat. It's the sun's shining. He gets the first look at this amazing pitch. He gets 45 minutes in. Look out.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with you, JB. What you get at the Gabba more than anywhere else in this country is a little bit of added pace and consistency of bounce. It's a nick-off early sort of pitch, but Davey loves that extra bounce, and that just turns him on at the crease. He just wants to get into it. And I think, Renshaw at the other end will have to be mindful of getting up the other end. Davey otherwise will get antsy and really want to play those big shots. But, mate, he loves these conditions. All batsmen do once they get in.
And, of course, this is the first time they've actually opened together in a first innings because of the debacle in Adelaide as well with Usman.
Yeah, no, that's true. That was quite unsettling for both, I think, Khawaja, Warner and Renshaw. So they're going to hopefully set up an opening partnership. Warner's had a lot of opening partners recently, so let's hope this is an opening partnership that goes for a while. And you might have that placid approach. That used to be Taylor, you know, blocking at the other end. Yes. And Slater having a crack. You know, it might be one of those.
Well done, guys, for Nearmap. Of course, Australia's leading provider of aerial imaging and location content. And really, Dave Warner, Skull, as I get ready to exit and let everyone in, is the best thing we've had since Michael Slater, as far as that sit the pressure on the opposition and really sort of go after him early type opening batsman.
Oh, opener of the century already, 2006, 84 years to go. Who's going to get better than David Warner?
Hard to see it. There are the stats, of course, 48, and you can't see him. We're going to tell you, 48 average, by the way, from his 58 matches, but it's the way he plays as much as anything else.
And that average is going north, mate, isn't it? I mean, it was around the early 40s. It's to 48. It could well go past 50.
It's pretty evenly poised. The Aussies started well. They were none for 70, and Warner and Renshaw were going nicely. But then the wickets started to fall. Warner was the first to go. LBW bowled a mere for 32 with one that would have just taken a touch of varnish off the leg stump. David Warner didn't go for the review, and he was on his way. Then Usman Khawaja came out and departed very quickly, out for four, caught the skipper. Misbah Al-Haq bowled Shah the leggy. Shah's got one for 30 from his 10. Riaz, none for 10 with one maiden. Amir, who's been the most impressive of the bowlers for mine, 9 overs, 2 maidens, 1 for 22. And Ali, yet to take a wicket, 5 overs, no maidens, none for 18. 30 overs in, Australia 2 for 89. Mark Howard with you. We'll get to Brad Haddin and Kerry O'Keefe very shortly. But statistically, Astua, what impressed you in that first session?
Yeah, well, the positives for the Aussies, obviously, Matt Renshaw is on 46 as we know. Look, his strike rate, pretty healthy, 53 opposed to 24% in the Adelaide test. And the interesting stat here, Howie, is that 60% of his runs have been scored on the front foot opposed to only 40 back in the Adelaide Test with Renshaw. But just an intriguing one, the concerns, Howie, just for the Australians. Kowalja, first inning scores when he's batted at number three at home, 4-4-4. So maybe that might be something they might look at moving forward, Howie.
Intriguing indeed, Tua. Well done by you with the stats, Brad Haddon and Kerry O'Keefe beside me. Who won the session, Hads?
Well, I think if you look at it on face value, the honours are even. But what we've got to remember, this is a day-night test match, so conditions are going to get a lot more tricky to bat on. So if you look at it that way and tradition of how the games are panned out with these day-night test matches, you'd have to say Pakistan might be a little bit in front.
Yeah, and I know, as I was walking off, all the Pakistanis were looking at the sun going, go the sun, because they wanted to drop, because their time is near, baby. When the big yellow thing sinks, they're in the game.
Well,
they've taken two. They'll back themselves for four or five in the night session.
Who's impressed you with the ball in the hand?
I mean, it was outstanding.
He was, wasn't he? Got a bit of shape.
Wasn't a lot of movement through the air for him. Not much nibble off the deck, but it's his trajectory. His traj. It's just so... It forces you to defend your stumps. You're looking for that one just outside of stump. What's it going to do? He's a standard. Needs 20 wickets in the series if they're going to win it.
He does, but what do you think of the fields, the leg spin? Oh. I thought they bowled way too straight and set leg side fields. To me, it was taking slip and LB out of the game.
And, mate, that's the thing. Yasir Shah, and you've faced him, he's looking to bowl you or hit you on the pads. Why would you bowl leg? Why would he be forced to bowl leg stump to left-handers? You're taking bowled and LBW out of the equation, aren't you?
So whose fault is that? Is that the bowler's fault?
The Mizbah. I'm going to the Mizbah.
The skipper, yeah, but well, you mentioned yesterday.
Yes, he is, because he's conservative, Howie. He's got great standing throughout the world, and he is a great servant, but he is a very conservative captain. He said, we'll tighten them up on leg stump. No, we want people out, baby. That's the way we're going to win this series, by getting some poles.
He started so well in his test career against, well, the Australians, and I just asked you in the break, have you faced much of Yasir Shah, Brad Haddon? Mm. And, well, you told me he got you out twice. I didn't want to bring it up, but someone had to.
Well, I did play against him. I can't tell you how he bowled me, because I didn't actually face that many balls from him, because he bowled me twice.
I saw it. Didn't you play for leggy and get top spinner?
I played for the leg spinner and he got me with the straighter ball out of the front. Hmm. And I think I played for the straighter one and he bowled me a leg a wrong. And so if I ever had another chance on Australian wickets, I was going to get him before he got me.
And the Australian side of the equation, a lot of discussion about Matt Renshaw and how he was going to go and whether he was too slow. That's what we needed. That's not what we didn't need. He's made 46 in the first session. A couple of leading edges early, but he's looked pretty solid.
Very impressive from Renshaw. I think they've backed a winner here, the Australian selectors. Composed, let the ball go, got beaten a couple of times, as you say, Howie. Bombed the spinner back over his head, good sign. Looks like he wants to play a long innings. That's what Australia needs.
Oh, the one thing I like most, he doesn't seem to get flustered. He's not overawed by the situation. This is his first home test. Mm. In only his second test match. He brought seats to the outer. He'd have family and friends everywhere, but he seems to be enjoying the occasion rather than letting the occasion pull him down.
Yeah. I think he's a winner. Warner, on the other hand, was a little... He looked as if he wanted to go, but he thought, no, I want to... He hasn't played a long innings, a really big 100 in Test cricket for most of this year. He wanted a big one today, and he probably got a little bit... But a measure, the fact he accepted that LBW is a measure of how he as a person, his standing is now... Because so many would have gone upstairs for that thinking, that's missing. I'm a chance here. Well, and he thought, this will be umpire's call. I'm not going to chew one up. What do you reckon?
Well, the one thing he did, he didn't even talk with his partner. So he said he didn't even give his partner. And a young partner could have been overawed by that situation.
Definitely.
If the vice captain comes to you and says, oh, mate, do you think I should go upstairs? The first thing you'd say, I'll go upstairs, because you'd be too scared to...
Yeah.
And he'd make the decision on emotion. So the one thing Warner did really, really well, he took the decision out of everyone else's hands and just walked off.
And it was the right call, wasn't it? Because Renshaw would have said to him, Hads, would have said, oh, mate, I think it's missing. Because a young player would say that to a senior player.
He was just taking a bit of varnish. That would have been up by his choice. It would have been his own. Well, one for you to think about in the break here, boys. A little competition. Triple M's got your tickets to day one, if you don't mind, on the Boxing Day test at the Triple MCG. All you need to do is text us your best cricket sledge. The number 197-1977. So your best cricket sledge to 197-1977 for the chance to take a mate to the biggest day on the cricket calendar. If you're outside of Melbourne, flights and accommodation included. We'll give you a tent outside the... No, we'll look after you very nicely. SMS just costs 55 cents, so I want you two to have a think about that. Your sledge just probably couldn't have fit in a in one text message, has, but we'll get to that.
Tea break, first day, historic, first ever day-night test match here at the Gabba. And Australia, after winning the toss and very predictably electing to bat, 3 for 182 with their captain Steve Smith not out, 54. And Pete Hanscom, after some nervous early moments, gets himself to 16. 59 overs gone, so the over rate actually very good for modern test cricket. Only one down on the count. And as I said, 1 for 77, Yasir Shah from his 23 overs. Riaz, 1 for 21. Only 9 overs from him, so he's got plenty of bowling to do in this last session. And Amir, 13 overs, 6 maidens, 1 for 22. Where are the points going? Brett Lee and Ishigura and also Mick Molloy up the back. What do we think?
It all depends on this last session now, I guess, and how the conditions affect the ball. And it's going to be a tricky period for Australia, definitely in the box seat at the moment. 182 for 3. Steve Smith looking good in the middle. Peter Hanscom's feeling his way into the game. But this last session is going to be the exciting one. It's going to be probably moving around a little bit more, and the pace bowler is going to extract a bit of movement, perhaps in the air. So that's it's hard to tell. I mean, what, it's the only the fourth day-night test that's been played.
Cannot understate for me, Brett Lee, the importance of that drop chance in the last over. If you've got a brand new player in Madison coming out in 40 minutes time, by then the ground will be fully in the shadow and lights will be starting to take over, and that is, you talk to anyone who's played day-night test cricket, they say that is by far the hardest half an hour to bat, the first half hour after the second break. To have a brand new player out in the middle instead of Australia's best player because of that dropped opportunity, for me, is enormous.
Absolutely, and especially thinking too, that was when he batted last time and got out as well, Mattinson. So look, he'll be thankful that it was a dropped catch. I do like what Isha said there, though. Look, these conditions are going to change now. This is where the bowler should come into play more. This last session, there hasn't been enough stats on what's happened around the pink ball because there's only been a limited amount of games. But what we've seen so far is that when the lights come on, when the sun goes down and the pink ball swinging around, it suits the bowlers. So as a batsman, you sort of feel like you get in as the day goes on. But now it's a different story. This is where the bowlers need to step up. You mentioned Riaz only bowled 9 overs. He's the guy that needs to step up now and bowl some serious wheels.
I think if you're the Australian captain, you have to seriously consider declaring over tea. Stick them in. Hit them with a bit of chin music under some dodgy light.
180
get a game going.
That got anything to do with what you've got planned later on, Mick?
No, that is pretty much it. I declare myself out at tea, I'm off. No, look, it's been great. Like you said, Amir's been the pick of the bowlers. In your mind,
yep.
Is he the best test cricketer ever to do time?
I don't know who he's trying to beat.
I put it to you.
I'm not sure who.
There have been a few that have done time after they've
played. After, but yeah. Not during their career. Who would have been the most likely in your day, Binger? In your team? Who do you reckon you'll be visiting behind glass one day?
I know a few bats have been timed out, but not done time.
It's great to see him back bowling. I remember seeing him on the scene as a 17-year-old kid and watching him and going, I'd never seen anything like it. You know, when you see a glimpse of someone who bursts onto the scene, and I remember just being in awe. It was a tragedy to be out, but it's great to see him back.
Australia, if you're just joining us, 3 for 182. We're in the bigger of the two breaks, which is the second one in these day-night matches. Mick, I've known you for a long time, and what I've known about you is that during the daylight hours, you can often be a bit pedestrian, but once the lights come on...
Watch him go then.
Wait till you see this. You want to tag me and watch me on a monitor. You want to get one of those those devices they make prisoners wear so you know where they are at all times.
Mark Howard with you in the main break. And I've got the great man Kerry O'Keefe beside me, and we're going to have a bit of a chat about the life and times. And when you normally do this, Kerry, you normally know someone very well, you've done lots of research, and now that I've met you 3 hours ago, we should be right for this.
No, there's not much to me, Howard.
Well, we've got 9 minutes, so you better have a little bit. Mate, your test career and your cricket career, 24 tests and 2 one-days, let's leave that for another day.
Yeah.
You hang up the spikes.
Yeah.
What do you do the next day?
I started a 20-year drought. Yeah, I started two decades of not much.
Right.
And in 2001, the penny dropped, but it was a lost 20 years. People say to me, Skull, did you ever go and see AC/DC or Cold? I didn't know they existed.
How do you lose 20 years?
You just drift.
Right.
I don't want to make it sad, mate. It's a happy story because it ends well.
Yeah, absolutely. But all stories have up and downs.
Yeah, but the down period was a bad down period for me.
And so what were
you
doing?
I thought I would get a job in cricket when I retired. I didn't know anything else. I just thought I will coach, commentate, write. There'll be something. But I was never proactive. I never sought it. I thought, oh, yeah, you know, they'll offer me something. Because I'd served New South Wales through 80 games and all that. But I found that everything dried up. And I didn't have the right attitude. It was my maturing period from 30 to 50.
What were you doing for a crust between 30 and 50? All sorts?
All sorts. I worked on brewery trucks. I worked on armoured trucks as an offsider.
With a gun?
With a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Never shot anyone, though?
No, we were told to keep the gun in your holster.
Right.
Because they weren't responsible if you hit anybody.
Right.
So the baddies found out that they weren't going to get shot.
They'd read the rules as well, hadn't they?
Yeah, they found out they're not going to shoot us, so they kept pinching things, and I resigned. But I just did all sorts of part-time jobs searching. And in 2001, ABC Cricket rang me. It was fortuitous because it was the final test of a summer and Dean Jones had something else on. I had one test and my life changed in that test.
I'd love to know your insight going into that test because obviously you brought a wonderful colour and life and entertainment to cricket on the radio and the television, which the country and the world fell in love with. Did you go in with an idea, Skull, that's what you were going to do, that you were going to be a point of difference, or did that just naturally happen?
No, well, I'd previously done I was just a part-time worker through the 80s and 90s, and I was on the bench for Channel 9, and occasionally if there was a doubleheader in two states over a weekend for the Mercantile Mutual Cup or something, the 50-over state competition, they'd send one party to Brisbane and the other to Adelaide. So I kept getting gigs, and I really wanted the beige. You know, and or I wanted to be part of that team, but so I thought I'll become this professor. So I analysed every player. I had multiple foolscap pages of notes on everyone, and I was just trying to lecture the guy in the lounge room.
I see,
and not be me. So when this and when that didn't work out, and I knew it wouldn't. When ABC that first test I did, mates of mine, we had a drink the night before, and they said, just be you. And just sort of laugh at your own jokes, be quirky, just be what you are. Don't try and lecture the audience on how much you might know. And I thought, yeah, that's the way to go. And initially there was a revulsion.
Always is with a point of difference.
Yeah, the point of difference. And the emails came and the calls saying that we don't want cricket broadcast like this on the national broadcaster. And I think early on it could have gone either way. But the director of sport suggested, yeah, look, there's something there. So they gave me more tests the following year and then more tests. And eventually I was a regular. And the audience tended to come with me, you know, through the journey. Even though I analysed, they look for the fun. And ABC cricket changed. Like in the days of Alan McGilvray, and you call cricket, I mean, normally the caller in the Alan McGilvray era just called every ball and said to Lindsay Hassett, the offsider, what did you think of the over, Lindsay? Mm. And he would say, it was a very good over, Alan. Back to you.
Right.
So cricket and Jim Maxwell and company came up with that as the blueprint for how to do cricket. But suddenly there was a relationship between the flavour commentator and the ball by ball that was virtually every ball, which was so non-Alan McGilvray. But that's the norm now in cricket commentary. There's a relationship develops on air. There's not one guy speaking the whole time and the other's just chirping in occasionally. So that was the period that I sort of didn't trailblaze, but that's ABC changed direction, that it was as much about fun as about carrying the game.
Which is why you suited perfectly to Triple M cricket. We're speaking to Kerry O'Keefe with the Aussies 3 for 182 at the major break. The laugh Have you always laughed like that, mate?
I've always laughed at my own stuff.
Right.
You know. All good comedians.
Yeah.
Some comedian said to me, Kerry, would you mind coming to all my gigs and just sit in the front row?
And just cackle.
And every time I crack one, you just go...
Have you always laughed like that? Did you laugh like that as a kid?
When I played, I'd often make a pithy comment and then go, and everybody would just crack up, no matter how bad the comment was. But the thing was, how, as I've mentioned a couple, I was a very intense player. Mm. And my great regret, we've all got regrets in life, but in sport, I should have relaxed more because I like to drink and I like laughing. And throughout my test career, my first class career, everything was about the next day. And Doug Walters used to often say to me, Scull, we're out tonight. You out? I said, no, I can't go out. No. And the alternative was to just do nothing and stew.
You and know, think.
And think and analyse.
Stress and all those type of things.
Yeah. And I was a fringe player. Like, it's a very... When you're a fringe player, it's a different beast to being a test regular. And that's why I used to argue my case against with Dougie and Rod Marsh that... It's okay. You guys are regulars. You're locked inside that 11.
Yeah.
I'm tenuous. So they said, it doesn't matter what status you are. You've got to enjoy this. And Dougie used to say to me, mate, when you're away on tour, enjoy the tour. There's no point in looking back in the years and said, I should have enjoyed that tour more. Because it was a great opportunity to play for Australia and see the world. And all I could think about was the cricket. And when I look back, he was right. You know, so now I enjoy cricket. I love Triple M cricket because there's good people, there's fun, and, you know, you're not intensely looking at every stroke to try and analyse it.
So did you miss that period out of the game? Cricket missed you. Did you miss cricket in the 3 or 4 years you've had away from broadcasting the game?
I miss Test cricket, you know, because I used to watch it with nothing to do. And I miss cricket. I love cricket. I love the way the Big Bash is expanding and that people are going to the cricket. We've got to get people to the game and they turn up to the Big Bash. I want them to turn up here at the Gabba and listen to Triple M. We need bodies at test matches. We're going to get them at the Big Bash, that's assured. But this is the game that's under the most threat of all three games. Because I read Mark Nicholas's book and he was projecting 50 years' time. He said there'll be two forms of cricket, 30-over cricket and 10-over cricket. And I thought, wow, 10-over cricket.
10-over cricket.
But he's a bit of a visionary, M. Nicholas. And I thought, and that means there's no test cricket. And that's why we've got to, you know, I hope he's wrong. And if we keep day-night cricket going and it catches and the public come and they warm to it, then test cricket will still be sailing on in 50 years' time.
In every match of cricket you watched, every player, if you can watch one bloke bat and one bloke bowl, who are those two fellas?
I'd watch Gary Sobers and Brian Lara batting together.
Wow. Wouldn't that be a combination?
Oh, to watch.
At cricket.
Yeah. And I'd watch Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath bowl in tandem. That would be my ideal quartet. Sobers and Lara against Warne and McGrath. I don't know who I'd be on.
I'd pick the bowlers, but I don't.
Yeah.
Or maybe. Oh,
but
that's a tough one.
That to me, I mean, the two best batsmen I've ever seen. And you know, so that Lara and Sobers are both genius. Warne probably isn't. We'd like to think he is because he worked hard at what he did. And McGrath was metronomic, outstanding results. Mm. Probably lacked genius, but what he did was the elite.
Kerry, it's a treat to have a chat with you. It's a treat to hear you back on the radio on Triple M Test Cricket.
It's great to be with
we
you.
We might do Ellie. This again tomorrow. We might
Let's
get
do it.
Involved. We go forensically through one and all your 24 tests.
Oh, and I'll talk you through that 20 years. It wasn't all
right.
Low.
All right, we'll do the 20 years tomorrow. I look forward to that. Good news. Triple M's got tickets to day one of the Boxing Day Test at the MCG. Just text us your best cricket sledge. Your best cricket sledge, text us on 197 19 777. That's 197 19 777, and that gives you a chance to take a mate to the biggest day on the cricket calendar. Only costs 55 cents for an SMS. If you live outside Victoria, we will give you flights and accommodation. So jump on that 197 19 777, text us your best cricket sledge. And that's a natural segue to Mr. Brad Haddon. Hello, Bradley.
That's a great introduction, Howie. Thank you.
It is. I've just been reading a little bit of your book, Brad Haddon, My Family's Keeper. That's just flying off the shelves going into Christmas, so people need to get involved. Did you enjoy writing a cricket book, Bradley?
You'll be interested by this, Ange. I actually found it really, really hard, to be perfectly honest. Because
the spelling part of it, or just
the spelling part was a little bit hard, but that was all done in the end. But of course, we went back and spoke about what went on with Mia when I had the 12 months out of the game with when Mia was diagnosed with cancer. And it took a lot of convincing, actually, to put pen to paper, to be perfectly honest, because we're a pretty private family, and matters of family we normally kept in-house. But in the end, we decided to pen the book because we think it would have been a really good tool for Mia as time goes on, because she was diagnosed at 17 months. She's now six. She doesn't remember a lot of the really dark days. So from a family's point of view, it's going to be a great tool for us to sort of show her what actually happened during her treatment, and different stages at the hospital, because which is good and bad, because she sees the hospital now as a place where she used to live, not some of those really dark days that we nearly lost her.
Neuroblastoma?
Yeah, she had neuroblastoma stage 4.
Right.
There's no stage 5, so yeah, she had a pretty big fight on her hands, and yeah, and that's why it was so hard to put pen to paper, because you had to go over a lot of the stuff that my wife found it a lot easier, because I didn't like to move back. I just like to keep looking forward. I didn't really want to remember a lot of the dark days. But in the end, we're really proud of what HarperCollins did with the book, and allowed us to tell our story truthfully the way we wanted to.
Brad Haddon, My Family's Keeper is the book. It's a fantastic read. Your love for the medical fraternity now, Brad, that took care of your little girl, does it just explode out of your heart and your mouth when you think about it?
Oh, they do some extraordinary things out there at the hospital, and they want nothing for it. What they put themselves through, the compassion that they show the families, the work that they do to make your situation, you feel like you're the most important person in the ward, was amazing. So we had some extraordinary doctors, and they deserve, you know what, they deserve all the credit.
Yep.
What they did with Mia and how they were with us, but and all the other families in the ward, was just over and beyond.
Good on you, Brad. Right, we turn our attention to this final session, and for hours we've been talking about the final session. Is it going to swing around corners? What's the pitch going to do? Are we likely to see much different, or do we really not know, Brad?
That's what I'm looking forward to most. I'm not sure on what's really going to happen. Is the wicket going to misbehave? Are we going to see some tricks with this dust period? But we've got a new ball coming in I think 20 overs, so it's going to be really interesting to see what's happened. And we spoke at the start of the day about Pakistan building pressure, and one of the big things in the series was going to be making sure they take their chances. And that miss from Steve Smith,
caught behind, right on the stroke of the break,
last over. I think that could really come back to haunt them. That would have had Nick Maddison walking out in an uncomfortable position, not really knowing in his second test what the wicket's going to do and how it's going to behave.
Starting to get dark here at the Gabba. Well, not dark, but the sun is setting quickly and the lights will be coming on. They've doubled the lux on the lights, which means Habs are going to be brighter. I don't think we need to go any more technical than that, but it'll be equal lux to the Adelaide Oval, whatever that means. Now, an important part of this coverage, she's been down on the ground throughout the day and she's got a news hound hat on, which she does a wonderful job with, Neroli Meadows. Hello, Nez.
Thanks for having me.
What's the main story in cricket today? Not necessarily around the Gabba, but cricket in general today.
Well, I think for the Aussie followers out there, it's the fact that John Hastings, who is a much loved man, he's out for a significant amount of time, certainly the summer. Of course, he's a one-day bowler for Australia. He'll miss the Stars campaign. He needs surgery on his right knee. He's done significant damage to the patella tendon. So not good news at all. And he's an incredibly popular man and he's getting a bit older. So it is difficult to come back from those serious sort of injuries. So our thoughts are with him because he's such a great bloke. You know him well,
yes,
as well. And John Hastings, certainly one of the most popular players. So a huge blow for Victoria, the Stars, as well as Australian cricket, but Jackson Coleman comes in for the Stars in the meantime in the Big Bash.
Thanks, Nez. And a real surprise, I think he was the leading ODI wicket taker this year and didn't get a run in the three-game series versus New Zealand, which annoyed Big Duke as it annoyed his supporters.
I think it was difficult for him because he was out with injury in the lead-up, and so a lot of people thought maybe he was underdone, but as you mentioned, yeah, he thought it was a bit unfair, and rightly so, because he's just been amazing in the one days.
And you'll be in the press conference post-play to bring us up all the latest with what occurs and how the Aussies think and what the Pakistanis think after day one.
Absolutely. And can I just say, Isha is getting so much love on Twitter. People are loving her call of this match. She's been absolutely fantastic. What an addition.
She is the golden tone one. You just listen to her and it just makes you smile.
I need to really work on it, don't I?
Well, and she's got that English accent as well, but you're going okay. You're going okay. She's keeping people up and you're sending them to sleep, so you're a good combination.
Oh,
all right, Hadj, you stick around. A final thought on what we're going to see in the next 2 hours?
I think we're going to see some wickets. I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're going to see some the ball start to play a few tricks. So it's going to be a really interesting session to be a part of. So, yeah, good luck.
Happy days.
That's your stumps. Steve Smith, the captain of Australia, will gleefully walk away with his side. 3 for 288. Brilliant 100 made by himself. And great support from Pete Hanscom, 64 not out. But when you're the captain, you look at the game beyond just your own personal performance. And his team's had a very good day.
He sure has. And all the Pakistan players running across Hadj, which I really like. And shaking the hands of the Australian captain. And they understood what a big knock that was. And the fact that he's batted for so long. And that's a nice bit of sportsmanship from the Pakistani players.
Yeah, that's great. And Pakistan, mate, they had the best seat in the house to Steve Smith's show, the show today. But let's not forget Matt Renshaw. He set that up today, allowed Steve Smith to play the way he did at the end of play. And look at him enjoying the moment now. Very animated Australian captain. Mate, that innings means a lot to him.
All right, we think Mark Taylor's going to grab Steve Smith as he comes off the ground. So we'll cross into Nine's coverage once that interview starts, but not out 110 is the skipper. And as I said, he had great support from Renshaw early and then Hanscom late with 64. Here we go.
But also for the team.
Yeah, it was. You'd take 3 for 288 any day in a day-night game, let alone a red ball game. So, yeah, we're in a good position. Hopefully we can start well first session tomorrow.
1600s now in Test match cricket. That one any more special than the other 15?
Oh, they're all special. I love getting hundreds. I love batting out here at the Gabba. So, yeah, main thing is the team's in a good position. Hopefully we can keep driving that on tomorrow.
And the young boys did well again for you. Matt Renshaw, 71. Peter Hanscom, what, 64 not out. They're certainly pulling their weight, aren't they?
They played beautifully, I thought. There was a couple of good spells there they got through. And, yeah, you got to work hard. So they did a great job today.
Last one, batting at night. Didn't seem to cause you too much trouble. Is it tougher?
Yeah, it was seaming around a little bit with that new ball. They probably bowled a fraction short, so yeah, we've got to learn from that.
Well, mate, congratulations. Another terrific innings. Go and have a drink.
Thanks, mate.
Back to you, Slats.
We appreciate Mark Taylor and the Nine Network with that interview from Steve Smith. And really, Brad Haddon, it's echoed what we've thought up here all day, and that is just, as so many international sides are here at the Gabba, just about a metre too short, most of them all day.
Yeah, it is. You get carried away with how pretty it looks going through to the keeper, going underneath the batsman arm, the keeper catching the ball high up, and it looks great from a spectator point of view, but to get wickets, they're about a foot too short. Yeah. But our fast bowlers would have sat in the physio room all day and enjoyed that.
Nearly Meadows has, I imagine, a very satisfied man down there with you. Nez?
Yeah, I think I've got you there, JB. Yep. We're having a few technical issues here, but Davey Warner is with us. Davey, you're up out of your seat for Steve Smith's 100. It was just a wonderful knock from the skipper.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Obviously, we built our sort of innings on partnerships, and at a crucial time, he came in, knuckled in, and experienced player as he is, he notched up his sixth.
Matt Renshaw in front of his home crowd, bringing up a nice 71.
Yeah, look, fantastic for Matt to come out here and get another 50. I think he's playing fantastic cricket at the moment. he wasn't overawed by the occasion, which is fantastic from a youngster. But look, it was obviously good to be out there and put a good partnership on the board with him, and hopefully next innings he can keep going on with it.
As we know, you're the old bull these days, the only bloke over 30. You must be pleased to see these youngsters doing so well. Pete Hanscom's still out there.
Yeah, look, I am. You know, it's all a bit of a learning curve for them, and now these youngsters have been picked for a reason, and they've got to step up on the world stage, and at the moment they're currently doing that, and it's a pleasing thing for our team.
And just finally, your dismissal, did you think about reviewing it?
Yes and no. I know if I don't hit it, it's going to be very close. With the new DRS system now, it just has to hit it, and that's what happened. So, had to respect the umpire's decision.
Really appreciate your time. Thanks, Davey. Yeah.
Cheers.
Dave Warner for Nearmap down there with Nerolee Meadows, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content. Always very generous with his time, Dave Warner, and we really appreciate it. All right, the tweets have been firing in. We like to be sort of pretty liberal with how we choose which ones we read out. Interpret that as we only read the good stuff. Chua, what do you got?
Yeah, tradition will continue, JB. This is from Kim. How good is the team on this broadcast? Smashing it, guys. Well done. And finally, Brad Collins at Triple M Sports. Sounding smooth, guys. Mickey, you too. So Mick finally racks up a positive.
So the fact that he could only find two, were you reading anything that, Chua? Or?
Not really.
All right, Hads and Brett Lee, what have you thought about day one?
I thought Australia won the big moments. I thought it's been a perfect start to day one of the series. I think we've followed on all the good work we did in Adelaide, and we've started this test right on the front foot. So, yeah, it's been a great day by the Australians.
Yeah, look, definitely the credit goes to Australia today. 3 for 228, but look, there were times where Pakistan looked to dominate. I think they were pretty ordinary right at the start, probably the first two sessions. But I tell you what, the last half an hour or 45 minutes of play, that almost went to Pakistan. They bowled beautifully. Amir came back after being, well, what we thought was ruled out for the whole rest of the season, and has bowled beautifully, bowled with good pace, finished at 1 for 40. But, you know, the spoils go to Australia today. They had to fight hard for it, but Stephen Smith led from the front, a beautiful 110 not out.
And the biggest moment, probably, Brad Haddon, was just before the tea break when Steve Smith was dropped. Simple chance. I know whenever a keeper's standing up, we can't really say simple because they either stay in or they don't, but it really went straight into the middle of his hands and out. And you just got a sense that had that wicket been taken, then you had Maddison coming out into that evening session and the Australian middle order would have been exposed. But as it was, wicketless in the last session, and Australia took the chocolates.
Well, it's... The Pakistanis aren't learning. That's the same mistakes they made in New Zealand. They dropped about 15 catches for the series, and you can't afford to do that at this level, especially with a player the quality of Steve Smith to give him a second opportunity. And yeah, it's a bad feeling for the wicketkeeper. Oh, I've been there, and you feel sick in the stomach all day. But you can't afford to give these guys a second chance.
So the beauty for Australia, as we get onto Pakistan in just a sec, Bing, is that three down in a whole day's play in a day-night test match is a great result. They go into the best batting time of the day, which is tomorrow at 1 o'clock, with 7 wickets in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you look at the scorecard, Smith and Hanscom, you know, Smith 110 not out, Hanscom batted beautifully. He's sort of been like the understudy of Stephen Smith, a great partnership of 137. I think the best thing tonight was not losing that wicket. So Nick Maddison tomorrow, if he gets his opportunity, will be in the natural light.
Tell us about the Pakistan bowling. Well, we've got you, Brett Lee. What did you like about it and what didn't you like about it?
I thought they struggled early on. They took too long to bowl the short ball, and then when they did, it was probably too short. Brad Haddon was saying all day that it's been back of a length and it hasn't been the correct length to try and nick off. I agree 100%. You know, they haven't bowled the right length to the Australian batsman to try to induce that nick. Been too short. But when they did bowl and when they did put the ball up there and they used the seam and they did a couple of cross-seamers towards the end of play tonight, they were brilliant. Riaz, you know, 1 for 52, bowled with good pace. Amir today was the you know, pick of the bowlers, 1 for 40.
Got me stuffed how it happens, Hads, I'll be brutally honest. You've got Mickey Arthur coaching Pakistan. You've got Steve Rixon as part of their coaching panel. Two blokes that have spent half, well, Stump has spent his whole life in Australia. Mickey Arthur, a lot of time here, used to be the Australian coach. Surely they'd be saying to them, you're much better off being a metre too full than a metre too short when you play in Brisbane and Perth. And yet, every single international team that ever comes to this venue makes the same mistake.
It frustrates me watching also. I watched in warm-up and they had the markers down on a good length. But they were just too short for the whole day. They've got a backroom staff that are experiencing these conditions. I think it's just an ego thing, to be perfectly honest. The fast bowlers liking the way the ball looks carrying through rather than doing their job, what obviously was spoken about in the team meeting, and going that extra... extra bit fuller and getting the batsmen driving and caught at the behind the wicket.
I always thought, Bing, that the great West Indian sides of the late 80s and early 90s did it better than anyone else. Everyone thought that they bowled express pace, which they did, but banged it in and, you know, got it up around the ears all the time. It actually wasn't the case. They bowled the best of any international team in Australia lengthwise every time they came in.
Yeah, absolutely. And considering, too, that other than Malcolm Marshall, who was around 5 foot, 11, 6 foot, they were all big, tall West Indian bowlers, so they could afford to bowl that fuller length. But even though they're skiddy bowlers, more of the Pakistanis, they've got some decent height. They've got to get the ball up there. It's got to show you the top of off stump at worst. So if you're bowling a ball that's consistently going over the stumps, then you're taking a huge equation out of taking wickets. You know, you're not going to get a guy bowled out. So pitch the ball up. You're right, Steve Stumper Rickson would be going in tonight going, guys, you bowl way too short. And when you did bowl short, you bowled over the top of their head. So they'll probably learn a lot from today. I like the pink ball under lights. I'm a big fan.
All right. Thanks for that, boys. Look forward to your company tomorrow. Brad Haddin's a superstar, as is Brett Lee, of course. 3 for 288 at Stumps Australia. In great shape in this game. Smith 110, Hanscom 64. Just a reminder, 1:30 if you're in Melbourne and Sydney on air tomorrow, 12:30 local time. We look forward to your company then as Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Triple M is the new home of Test match cricket. And the one game we look forward to the most? Boxing Day at the Triple MCG.
I mean, it's an honour to be involved.
We're so bloody excited. We're giving away tickets. Including flights and accommodation.
You beauty!
To win, keep listening to the first test on Triple M.
This is going to be a cracking series.
If you live in Melbourne, no flights for you. We're not that stupid.